Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, so you got up. Hey, how you doing? Nice to see you. Nice to hear from you. Nice to be heard. Hope you had a good weekend. This is Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. You can also join us right here in my Super Star Wars studio, located in Raleigh, North Carolina, somewhere. Secret and undisclosed location. The Steve Noble Show on Facebook if you want to join us there. An interesting year, getting more interesting. By the way, if you're thinking about having Thanksgiving, I mean, repent. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. How dare you want to be with family and stuff at Thanksgiving? You just need to repent for that unloving attitude. You don't love your neighbor. You want your neighbor to die. So you need to repent of that. We'll move on from there. Sorry, a little punchy today and a lot to talk about. But if you were at a little audience participation here today, if you were up at the Million MAGA rally in D.C. on Saturday, which wasn't a million, of course, the New York Times and other people are like, you know, there were people there. But New York Times, I mean, look at this right from their own article. Thousands rally in Washington as clashes erupt. Wow, thousands. That's pretty good for the New York Times. Thousands of supporters of President Trump protesting the outcome of the election rallied in Washington on Saturday, earning a brief drive-by visit from the president himself and a day of orderly demonstrations that devolved into violence as the night wore on. The police made 20 arrests, including 4 on gun charges, as counter-protesters and Trump supporters clashed in the streets throughout the evening. That's a stretch, Trump supporters. Trump supporters were the victims, and then the crazy Proud Boys were there, Antifa was there, and some BLM people were there. So you had three parts nightmare, one part just trying to serve the country. Three parts nightmare, one part trying to serve the country. Okay? That's how I read it. Sorry, New York Times. And by the way, the police thought there were 200,000 people there, as opposed to the New York Times, who probably says they're being accurate. Thousands of supporters. Well, you're off by, you know, a factor of 20, but who's counting? Anyway, were you there? Did you experience any of that? I'm curious if you did. If you did, please call in. I'd love to hear a firsthand report of how that went down. I know my friend Cindy was there. A bunch of other people I know were there. Neil was there. I don't know if Neil's listening, but if you were there and you saw any of this, experienced any of this as the day grew on and as the sun went down, which is when the forces of evil really like to start to play, give us a call and let us know what that was like. Give us a little report. That would be great. 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884 if you were there. Hey, Seth, can you come turn in the rest of the lights, please? The rest of the lights here in the Super Star Wars studio would be awesome. 866-3- Don't worry, you're going to be on camera. Don't worry about it. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go on with the New York Times version and see how it sounds. The police made 20 arrests, including 4 on gun charges. One person was stabbed, but his condition was unknown late Saturday. For the most of the day, however, the crowds were under control. Want to know why? Class? Anybody? 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 Why were the crowds under control? Because they're conservatives who tend to be, you know, under control. If boisterous, and many greeted the president with applause and cheers when he passed by in his motorcade. By early afternoon, demonstrators had fanned out for several blocks around Freedom Plaza. On Twitter, the White House press secretary, Kayleigh McEnany, offered an exaggerated assessment of the event, calling the Million MAGA March, claiming that a million supporters had turned out. Accounts on the ground suggested that her estimate was wildly inflated. Even if short on numbers, the crowd was not lacking in enthusiasm for the president. You know, there's got some quotes here. Typical New York Times, okay? So that's what 866-348-7884 is the number. If you were up there, I'd love to hear what your experience was like being up there with all the Trump supporters continuing to rally for the president and his efforts to see this election go his way as we have wild things going on across the country. The fat lady doesn't sing until a few weeks from now, by the way, officially. Around December 9th or December 14th, when you get this little thing in the Constitution called the Electoral College, if anybody's paying attention, that's when the fat lady sings, okay? 866-348-7884 if you are there and would like to share your firsthand account, because we're all in the world of social media now, ladies and gentlemen. You are now just as much a reporter and a journalist as anybody else. If you have a smartphone and you have a camera on that smartphone, welcome to the game. You're in, and now we go to you. We quote you in major news articles and on major social media sites, and so-and-so tweeted and so-and-so tweeted. Not like these people aren't even really known very well, yet they show up in all these major articles and stuff. Kind of fascinating. But if you were there, I'd love to hear from you. 866-348-7884 to get your firsthand experience. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Thanks so much for helping out. We're going to go to Bianca calling in from Charlotte. Bianca, thanks for calling. Were you up there on Saturday?
I was there with three friends on Saturday, and I just had a ball. It was so much fun. Everyone was happy, singing, chanting, Back to Blue. Everybody was just happy for liberty, and they were supporting Trump. And I saw nothing bad except maybe 30 Antifa that the police were keeping away from us. And really nothing happened. It was just, it got standing room only, though. It was so crowded. There was at least a million people there.
Yeah, I mean, the obviously it was a large crowd. And you said people were having fun and singing and chanting and having a good old time. And then there were some forces on the outside of that. Did you leave right when it was over? Did you kind of miss when things started to go south after the sun went down?
Yeah, I left. When everybody started to leave, we left. It took us about an hour. And all that started, I guess dark early. So it started right after it got dark.
Was there any interaction at all that you saw, Bianca, while you were there, just in terms of some Antifa people or anti-Trump protesters? Did you see or hear anything, or were they carrying signs, anything negative like that?
The only thing that we saw was when the rally was over and people started to walk away, there was the guy with a megaphone, and he was, you know, speaking on the megaphone. I don't know what he was saying, but it was all pro-Trump stuff. And some guy with a knife came and cut his microphone, he was speaking on, and right away about 20 cops ran towards the crowd and grabbed him up right away and arrested him.
Good.
That was the only thing I saw all day.
Yeah, but it sounds a little bit different than your usual Antifa BLM gathering, as people were singing and smiling and loving up on each other, because there is a marked difference between the way conservatives are doing this and the way the radical left is doing it. Bianca, thanks so much for calling in. I appreciate that report.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, Cindy, you're up next. So I'm going to go to you right after the break. So if you're okay holding, I'm going to keep you on hold. Then we'll go to my friend Cindy Watko. She was there, had some interesting interaction, as she always does. Good conservative, godly woman. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. A lot of tough things to cover today. We're also going to do a Money Monday update at the end of the show in the last segment with David Fisher. But asking a few folks to call in and share your experience if you were up there in D.C. over the weekend. With the massive rally that was in support of President Trump and what's going on with the election. My good friend Cindy Watko, my sister in Christ as well, was up there. Cindy, you always show up in the middle of these things. You're such an active patriot and a lover of the Lord. I appreciate you calling in. So tell us about your experience.
It was awesome. I mean, it was just so awesome, Steve. First of all, it was so difficult getting into D.C. because there were so many people trying to get in. I mean, the traffic was unbelievable. And I was really, I'd underestimated how difficult it was getting in because I thought, you know, yeah, it'll be a couple thousand, maybe 100,000. But it was just packed getting in. So then all the streets were blocked off. And by the time I finally parked and walked down to Freedom Plaza, that whole area was completely filled with people waving flags, waving Trump flags. And it was every ethnic group, every race, all ages. And people were singing patriotic songs. And it was so crowded, it was hard to get in there. And so everybody seemed happy. There were speakers. You know, we couldn't see the speakers because we were far away, but we could hear them. And it was just constant, you know, uplifting. We love America. We're not giving up. We don't believe this vote count. We're going to fight to the end. And so it was confusing as to, like, where we were going and what were we doing. And so we started walking up Constitution Avenue because we knew they were going to march up to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And as you went up toward it, even though the Freedom Square people hadn't left yet, you still saw people so far ahead of you that had gone on ahead. And then by the time, and there was media everywhere, and again, it was families, black families, Hispanic families. We saw people from Hawaii, Minneapolis, New Jersey, Long Island, you know, from all over, Texas, California, that had all flown in specifically for this. Mm. And so then when they kind of told the crowd, okay, march up there, as we all started marching up in mass, and I don't know if you've ever been to the March for Life.
Oh, yeah, it's
but it
crazy.
Was like the March for Life kind yeah. of movement, right? So as we got around to the Capitol, and you know how the one street goes up where you could walk straight through the grass on uh-huh. the Capitol, but most people walk on the road, we saw this huge mass of people coming back toward us. And I asked them, what are you doing? And they said, well, we've been gathered up here at the Supreme Court for a couple hours with that group, and now we're headed down to Freedom Square. So there was two inns that block-ended it for the people that were all there. And then by the time we got up to the Supreme Court, you could not even move. It was so mm-hmm. crowded. And that's where, again, they had Mike Lindell. He was in two places, Louis Gohmert, Sebastian Gorka, and he was awesome. And it was just a big, peaceful rally. And so as we turn to leave from that, because, you know, the big crowd kind of can get a little scary when you're in the middle of it,
sure.
we saw to the right of the Supreme Court steps, if you're facing the Capitol, it would be to the right. If you're facing the Supreme Court, it was to the left, a group of Antifa, quote-unquote Antifa thugs. It was about 15 or 20 white kids that looked like little punks in their 20s and wearing their little, you know, face masks.
Right.
But they were completely surrounded by Capitol Police. And a lady was next to me. She was a school teacher. And she said, those look like my delinquent students. I should get up there tell them mind their business. And, I mean, they just looked so non-threatening, especially with the police all around them.
Yeah.
So then we started walking back down Constitution, headed back to Freedom Plaza, and people were playing music. There were huge celebrations of, like, reggae bands and the bands that you heard in Miami, the Latino music sound, rappers, all along in the lawns of all the and parking areas of all the buildings, the federal buildings. And so we started talking to some police officers and young girls, and they look so happy. And we said, what is your attitude toward this? And they're like, we love this. This is so peaceful. And my friend said, not at all like the summer riots. And she said, not at all. And she said, we feel so much safer. We feel like we could do our jobs if something broke out, and yet we feel like the people are safe. So we feel safe, and the people feel safe. And that's all I knew about, you know. I didn't know there was anything going on until I got down further to go eat dinner, and some people started yelling at me out the window, screaming. And so, you know, I just said, listen, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And they started hurling things out their car at me, giving me the middle finger, yelling, F you, F you. And I saw this girl standing there in a Blue Lives Murders t-shirt. And I said, you know, you've got to be kidding me. And so she starts giving me the finger. And I said, you know, Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. And she started saying, F Jesus, F Jesus.
Jeez,
I mean, totally like a demoniac, like you were just saying. These people are possessed by the devil. They are possessed by the devil. And there's no reasoning with them. And so then as we walked along, I asked the police, I said, hey, how long will you guys be out here? Because it's getting dark. You know, the rally was still going on. We were far away from it by that time. And he said, we're going to be out here all night. So by the time I drove home, I talked to my husband on the phone, and he said, did you see all the violence? And I said, what violence? And he said, well, there's been a lot of violence. People have been stabbed, kicked in the head, shoved down. And I said, that must be the media trying to foment something, because there's no violence. We saw no violence. We walked all over that area because, you know, it's, you're able to walk it if you're healthy. And I said, this is all manufactured. I have no idea where this violence would have been taking place, because it was not like that. It was like a family event. You could have felt fine taking your family there.
Sure.
You could have felt safe. And it was all about love of country. Yes, we love Donald Trump, but it was about we want a free and fair election.
Yeah.
If we lost, fine, we'll accept the results, but we don't believe that. And there were tons of Asians there, Chinese people with big banners saying, you know, stop the steal, and they were saying, President Trump stands against China, help us stand against China.
Wow.
I mean, just so many Chinese people with these huge banners and handing out literature on how to stand. And they had pictures of Joe Biden with his face over the Mao Zedong famous photo.
Oh, boy,
and it was called Beijing Biden, and people were holding Beijing Biden. I mean, this is real. This is real. And so when I heard later that the media said there were a couple thousand people there and that it was mostly violent and that the Proud Boys had taken over, that is such propaganda. It infuriates me, because that is not at all what happened.
Yeah,
that
they
do not represent us.
They love to conflate all that as if that element emerged from the Trump crowd. The Trump crowd, like I was saying earlier, Cindy, was like, you know, a nice 4th of July celebration with family and friends
exactly
and music and banners. And we, you know, we appreciate and we thank God for America and we're patriots. But when the patriots leave, when the people that value God and country leave, then that's when the forces of darkness are set loose. And what they would do in a normal, like the confrontation like you had with that young lady, which is so sad. And it is like the demoniac. And we have to remember that when you're watching these things, whether it's on social media or on television, wherever, remember that you've got just the devil and his minions. These are all just chew toys for them. And it's just heartbreaking, and which, and we can't come against that carnally. We need to come against that with spiritual warfare and prayer and praise, which you're talking about a lot all the time. And that's something that I think we're missing.
Oh, definitely. And everybody was live streaming it. So that's another thing. There are so many citizen journalists there.
Yeah.
You could just hear everybody talking and everybody live streaming it. So there's plenty of video out there if the media wanted to do their job to show that there was not that element of whatever they tried to say was the biggest part would have been less than 0.001.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Again, until the sun went down. And then after the sun, who knows what went on.
Yeah.
But during the day, it was like everybody being happy and you could talk to them and ask them how they felt about what was happening, and people were saying, we're still praying for the president, we're praying for the elected officials, we're praying for the process to, you know, the evil to be exposed and the lie to be exposed. And you saw people gathered singing patriotic songs, singing
yeah.
Christian songs.
Radicals.
And again, it was like, you know, rah, rah, America. It was just so different than how it's been portrayed.
Yeah.
It's just been, you know, I would say it's been shocking, but it's not shocking because everything they do is a lie.
That's exactly right. Cindy, thanks so much for calling in and sharing that. As always, always great to hear from you. Thanks for bringing us up to date on that.
Okay, take care.
All right, thanks. See you later. And that was my friend Cindy Watko here in Raleigh. Very involved Christian, loves the country, and gets involved. Doesn't just sit on the sidelines and complain. And yeah, remember that. That's what's out there. You try to engage them, it's just like the demoniac, and they're just going to blank you and this, that, and the other thing. Let's make sure we're praying for these people whenever we see them on media. This is Steve Noble. Plenty more to talk about. All right, ready for a little medicine? We used to call it cough medicine for the church here on the Steve Noble Show. When it was called to action this week, when we were on Saturdays for 3 years, that started in 2007. Then we got off the air, and then like Godfather Part 3, they pulled me back in. That wasn't they, it was God. And then back on the air a few months later and started doing the daily show, and it was Call to Action Today, C2A Today. And then that was one of our taglines, cough medicine for the church, because if you're old enough, if you're old like me, then you remember when cough medicine tasted horrible, right? So you're like plugging your nose, whatever, you can't hardly take it. It tastes horrible, but it's good for you anyway. Well, that's kind of like the truth. So I was saying on Facebook Live, if you want to join us in the middle of these commercial breaks, if you're on the radio, you can join us on Facebook Live here in the studio. Just go to the Steve Noble Show on Facebook. And we continue a conversation, usually a sidebar conversation. I don't rob Peter to pay Paul. I don't pull the majority of the content for the radio show happens when we're on the radio segments. Okay, there's four of them between 4 and 5 p.m. But I keep going because I do that on the commercial breaks. And so on the commercial break, I was encouraging and challenging all of us, like Cindy Watko, who called in, when we're faced with that kind of demonic activity and hatred and the F-bomb and all that stuff, how many of us will look that person in the face and say, I rebuke all that junk in Jesus' name. And by the way, do you know Jesus loves you? I mean, how many of us have that kind of boldness to remember that we are more than conquerors? We have been given authority to do this stuff. And you're dealing with spiritual forces of darkness, which means it's not a Molotov cocktail. It's not a bat. It's not pepper spray. It's the word of God and the truth of God. That's our weapon. And if that means you get beat physically. Okay, our weapons are not carnal. They're spiritual for tearing down these strongholds. And we need to do that. The days are getting darker. So we need to have that boldness, not because we are so pumped up on ourselves, I'll show you my authority. No, like John the Baptist, I must decrease, he must increase. But these days are getting darker, and we need to be willing publicly, boldly, and outwardly to declare the truth of God. So thank you, Cindy, for your example. Not to bring attention to herself, but to glorify God and to try to share at least the one word in that Antifa girl's life that will change her life. And that's the name of Jesus. And we better start getting a little more bold, eating locusts, wearing skin, John the Baptist, with our faith. And just speak the language of faith when we're in the public. Hey man, do you know Jesus? Hey, thanks. Hey, God loves you. What? Yeah, God loves you. He proved it 2,000 years ago. He died on a cross for you. What? Up yours, dude. Okay. God loves you anyway. He'll be waiting for you when you're ready. That's where we're going. That's what we need. And the world, here in America even, is going to push back. It's going to get darker and more difficult. And we need to pray, like the first century church, for boldness. That's like the number one prayer request in the book of Acts, was boldness. And we need that now, perhaps more than ever, here in America. Okay. Let's see. All right, let's do this one. A little loving rebuke. Raise your hand if you didn't vote. Raise your hand if you didn't vote. Anywhere, wherever you're listening, but especially my fellow North Carolinians here across the state. Raise your hand if you didn't vote. Okay, now listen to this. Here's the deal. This is breaking news, like as of about, I don't know, an hour and a half ago. State Supreme Court Justice Paul Newby has pulled ahead of incumbent Chief Justice Sherry Beasley after officials in eastern North Carolina's Washington County fixed a problem with election results Monday morning. Today, it's the latest shift in the race for Supreme Court Chief Justice, and there could be more. In addition to Washington County counting mailed-in ballots twice, they counted mail-in ballots twice. Oops. Asterisk, oops. Robeson County forgot to count ballots from an early voting site. Oops. Newby, a Republican, led the race by 231 votes as of 2:45 p.m. today. Paul Newby has been on the North Carolina State Supreme Court for what? At two terms now. He's limited. And so he's running. He's the only conservative on the court. He said when he was on the show recently, you know what his job is? He writes dissenting opinions. Six liberals, one conservative. And I'm talking about constitutionally conservative. Like the document says what it means. It means what it says. And a couple of days ago, he was down by 35 votes. Now, I guarantee you, for my North Carolina friends on the radio and on Facebook, I guarantee you, I know it for a fact, based on the statistics for the last 50 years, that at least 35 of you didn't vote. Or you voted part of it, but you didn't vote that part. And I would say, if he lost by 35 votes, that's squarely on you. And we sit there and say, my vote doesn't matter. Really, let this be an example to you. Let this be a lesson to you. I had somebody email me or send me a message recently on social media. He wanted me to apologize because I said on the air that I think it's a sin not to vote. Well, if I were an 8-year-old, I'd throw out a meaningless apology for you, sir. But I'm not 8. And I'm not apologizing because I believe it to be true that if you don't vote, you're abandoning social responsibility, not caring for your neighbor in a country where your vote actually does matter and the laws from the local to the state to the federal level affect pretty much all of your neighbors, all 330 plus million of them. And to say it doesn't matter or it doesn't count means you don't really care. In practice, whatever. And so you blow it off. That's called the sin of omission. James said to know what is right and not do it is a sin. That's the sin of omission. I think it's a sin. I think the Bible makes it a sin. You go, no, it's a matter of conscience. Really? Loving your neighbor is a matter of conscience? I just don't feel convicted about that, Steve. The Bible's truth is not based on your emotional reaction to what it says. It is true, period. It is true, period. One more time for fun. It is true, period. Okay? So if somebody, one of the most godly men I know, Paul Newby, who wants to be the North Carolina State Supreme Court Justice, who has incredible sway, a conservative in terms of constitutional matters, and a conservative and just saturated with the Holy Spirit, and he were to lose by 35 votes, I would look 35 Christians in the face and say, it's your fault. And I would suggest you'd go deal with the Lord on that one. And yes, I would suggest that you repent. No, that's wow, Steve, that's a little over the top. I don't think so. And I'm certainly not going to apologize for it. So there's that. Okay, January 5th, the big double whammy election down in Georgia for the U.S. Senate, for control of the U.S. Senate. Okay, right now the Republicans are 50-48. But if you lost both these runoffs down there, then it would be 50-50. And assuming a Biden wins, guess who is the tie vote in the Senate, my constitutional friends? That's right, Kamala Harris. So check out, this is the guy who now preaches out of Ebenezer Baptist Church, which is where MLK preached. So just recently, I put this article up on Facebook. Pastor running for Senate. Abortion rights are consistent with my beliefs as a minister. Well, then you ain't a minister. Reverend, I'm going to put that in air quotes, Raphael Warnock a Democrat running the special election to finish the remainder of Republican Senator Johnny Isaacson's unfinished term. Then this one came out today about him. And I'm going to say something really inflammatory here in a minute. Democratic, I'm just telling the truth, okay? And sometimes I know my descriptions are a little over the top, but I'm trying to just be truthful here. Democratic senatorial candidate Raphael Warnock demanded, this is back in 2016, that America repent for its worship of whiteness. Didn't know I was guilty of that. During a sermon delivered shortly before the 2016 election, if it is true that a man who has dominated the news and poisoned the discussion for months needs to repent, talking about Trump, obviously, back in 2016, then it is doubly true that a nation that can produce such a man and make his vitriol go viral needs to repent. I think Donald Trump is responsible for his own words, sir, not me. No matter what happens next month, more than a third of the nation that would go along with this is reason to be afraid. America needs to repent for its worship of whiteness on full display this season. How is it that you can insult everybody, Warnock continued, call Muslims something other than children of God? Reverend, Muslims aren't children of God unless they're born again, and then they're not a Muslim. People that claim Christianity aren't necessarily children of God unless they're born again. Atheists aren't children of God unless they become born again. Agnostics are not children of God unless they become born again. Buddhists are not. Eastern Taoism is not. A Jew is not a child of God unless he becomes born again, according to the word of God, which again is the truth. To those through faith in Jesus Christ, he gave the right to be called children of God. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, you are born again, the Bible says, John 3, and you become a child of God, adopted. You're not born into that family naturally. You have to be adopted. You're born dead, spiritually separated because of your sin nature. And then it doesn't take too long for us to act on that and seal the deal. So you've got a reverend here saying, hey, Muslims, who would call Muslims something other than a child of God? Well, that would be God. Would call a Muslim or anybody else not a child of God unless they've come to faith in Jesus Christ and have been born again. And this is a quote-unquote pastor. So here's my inflammatory remark. Democratic senatorial candidate Raphael Warnock, I think his last name should actually be more like Warlock. Because with this type of thinking and these types of words and him saying that his Christian beliefs and his role as a reverend are perfectly consistent with a legal right to murder unborn children, sir, that is beyond dereliction of duty. That's apostasy. That is not a pastor. From my understanding of the word of God, that is a heretic. And that's what we're facing. And he could be a U.S. senator in the United States of America. If you're not praying for those in authority over you, according to scripture, we sure better start. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back.
So if you're happy in your stuff, and if 10% enough, stay away.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Switching gears, a little Money Monday update with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. By the way, as we push through November, get past Thanksgiving, which I'm super excited about. And so next week I'll be live Monday and Tuesday. Tuesday we'll do our annual kind of Thanksgiving conversation. I'll ask you to call in and be specific, something specific that you can want to thank the Lord for in the last 12 months. Sunday school answers don't count. You got to be specific. And especially in this year of 2020, that's a good exercise for all of us. And then there's something I wrote several years ago called 66 Things to Be Thankful For from the 66 books of the Bible. I'll go through that. That'll be next Tuesday. Then I'll be off Wednesday through Friday and then back live after that. But let's just assume for the sake of argument, that Joe Biden wins. There's going to be some fascinating, difficult, and trying things that happen in the financial market. So as we talk to David Fisher today and pretty much every week on a Monday, now is a great time for education. If you've never dealt with precious metals before, if you kind of all tilted on to just stocks, if you don't have cash, if you don't have property, if you've never looked at precious metals, you need to remember diversification. Things are really challenging now. If all of a sudden we have a Joe Biden and Kamala Harris in the White House, they're going to get more challenging. So you need to be engaged and educated, which is why we enjoy and are appreciative of spending time with David every Monday on the show. David, how are you, buddy? Thanks for calling.
I'm doing great, and we're going to know that on December 14th, which is a Monday. So sometime around there, unless it gets more contested at that point, then it'll delay.
Yeah, and that's we're talking about the Electoral College there. When I say the fat lady hasn't seen yet, that's what I meant. That would be the Constitution, if you ever heard of such a thing. But obviously the market today up 470 points. Of course, we were talking about COVID again and another company stepping up, talking about a vaccine. So let's get an update on market performance year to date and what's driving the markets today, because that's a pretty big number.
So year to date, Dow is up 2.9%, S&P 10.5%, the Nasdaq still leading the charge of the three paper indexes, 30.9%, gold at 24.5%, and silver, the shining star, still 38.3%.
Wow. Those are pretty impressive numbers. Then again, when we look at the Nasdaq, explain to everybody why you have the Dow and stuff at 2.9, and then all of a sudden, whammo, the Nasdaq at 30.9. So what? There's a little trick there, though, that people, I think, most of the time don't understand.
Yeah, and just because the index went up doesn't mean necessarily everything went up. Like for the Dow today, there were 60% of the stocks went up and 40% went down, even though the Dow shows it's up 400-plus points. In reference to your question, the Nasdaq had five stocks. The top five stocks represent 25% of the index. So if they're up, the index is up, but it could mean 75% of the stocks could be down, possibly. So it's a misleading, unfortunately, and that's what happens when a certain area called the tech rally, stocks, I'm referring to Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Microsoft, and Google, those specific stocks have been rallying, while most of the area in tech has been lagging behind. Not all of it, but most of it. So that's why it's can be confusing, but that's the understanding of it.
Yeah, and so in terms of today, with the market being up like 470 points, what kind of drove that today?
So Moderna is a pharmaceutical company. They came out and announced that they have a vaccine. And it was 94.5% effective. Pfizer was last Monday. Their vaccine was 90% effective, which is still phenomenal considering the flu is 50% effective, to put it in perspective.
Wow.
So this is kind of a repeat, except for, you know, last Monday, the Dow went up intraday trading 1,550 points and settled down at 840 points, and the Dow is not up that high, but it's up precipitously. So good news for that's driving the markets today. And to put into perspective, Moderna, you can store the vaccine in the refrigerators, so the delivery of it's going to be much simpler compared to Pfizer, which has 4 degrees below Fahrenheit. So it's a really cold vaccine that needs to be stored very cold. We did see Moderna make some big moves today, 12%, while the home stocks went down 5%. So here again, just because certain areas, the index goes up, doesn't mean all the areas are going up.
Right.
And we're going to probably get FDA approval this week for Pfizer, and probably in the coming weeks we're going to get FDA approval for Moderna.
Yeah, and that'll be interesting, assuming the control of the executive branch changes hands, to see what they do with that as they go into the rollout phase next year. Because, you know, we see stuff from Cuomo saying, oh, because it comes from Trump and we're not going to trust it, blah, 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 blah. This will, of course, be another political football, but fascinating to watch that happen. And another big bump today as a result of it. So, again, remembering the markets can be kind of emotional and react to things just like the rest of us. But one thing that I didn't even know about was there's a huge trade agreement that was signed over the weekend that could have repercussions that circle the globe. Tell us about that, David. I'm not even aware of that.
Yeah, this happened Sunday night while we were sleeping, Asian agreement. China led the agreement. They've been working on it for 8 years,
wow,
and they signed it yesterday while we were sleeping. Some of our allies signed it. Japan, an ally. Australia, New Zealand, South Korea, and 10 other countries from the ASEAN countries, which are Malaysia, I'm not going to mention all 10, but the Philippines, Malaysia, Indonesia, Singapore, Thailand, Vietnam, Cambodia, things like that. So it's a big, this is, in fact, the largest trade deal in the world's history.
Wow.
And we are left out of it purposefully. China came out. The deal claims and aims at strengthening supply chains. It's reducing tariffs. As much as 70% tariffs are going to be reduced by. And this gives Beijing the opportunity to rewrite the regional rules to diversify its avenues of trade in declining relationship with us. Actually stagnant, if near next to nothing there, actually, right now. So think with me. Let's put all the line the dots up and let's connect them. So China wants to compete globally. They are the largest now economy in the world. They've surpassed us, unfortunately. And they want to compete with the world reserve currency, the U.S. dollar. How you do that? You get 15 countries to join with you in trade and leave the United States out. So I'm going to make a guesstimation, a speculate prediction. I believe you'll see in the next couple of years Europe's going to join in. I think you're going to see the Latin countries join in, and that's the long game, the chess game that China has been playing.
Yeah, because it's important to note and remember that Donald Trump's kind of quote unquote trade war with China is about 3.5 years old, but you said they've been working on this deal for what, 8 years?
8 years.
Which means China has an overall strategy that has nothing to do with who the president of the United States is. They just want to destabilize and weaken America. That's just the bottom line.
Absolutely. You got it. You nailed it on the head, Steve.
Yeah, and this will be, obviously, this is alarming because we live in a global society now, and the markets, so you think you're isolated here in America. It's not 1770, and you're protected by the Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean. It's all tied together now, so we need to really keep an eye on that. That's really quite disturbing, but they've been at it for a while. This isn't a Trump maneuver. This is a China maneuver, just continuing to try to dominate the world. So are we going to get another round of stimulus? They keep talking about it. Of course, between Pelosi and Mitch McConnell, they're not getting anything done, but do you think it's actually going to happen, and will it matter if we change administrations?
Mitch says there's going to be a small one. I don't think we're going to get it, but I think we will in the beginning of next year, no matter who gets who's in office of presidency. And I think the Fed is going to be the biggest part of the stimulus too. We have a $75 trillion debt-laden economy right now. And to put it into perspective, since 2008, the Federal Reserve and the government combined has pumped $36 trillion into the economy. That's the number. So for every $12 that gets spent in liquidity, it only creates $1 of economic growth. It's not working. So if you look at the numbers last year, $3 trillion, the balance sheet of the Fed went up in 9 months specifically, actually call it a year. And in 3 years, $3 trillion was the national debt. The budget deficit was $3 trillion last year. That magical number, $3 trillion, just keeps coming. So think with me with a second. They do the same thing again. We're going to have a budget deficit of probably around $3 trillion because we got accustomed to it. That means the Fed has to double their issuance of debt because they bought $284 billion per month. They need to double that number. And this, $120 billion a month, we need to get up to the $284 billion is what it's going to be next year, because the Treasury is going to issue $2.4 trillion of Treasury, and the Fed's only been buying $960. This means higher prices in gold is what this equates to.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how gold and silver is reacting today and what it's going to do as we kind of work through this mess in the future.
Well, Wells Fargo just came out and said, expect $2,100 gold by the end of the year. That's 11% increase in the next 6 weeks. Instead of looking at the year-end target, the Wells Fargo advisor said investors should pay attention to the long-term trend. And this is why we have a long-term trend in gold and silver, is because we have a long-term spending problem and issuance of debt. So if it went up this much this year, expect that or more next year, because they're going to issue more debt and spend more.
Which is why, knowing what's happening and that it's only spinning up, you need to get educated. You need to understand the use of gold and silver in terms of a hedge against the craziness that continues to happen. David, what's the best way for people to get educated on that?
You know, they can do the old-fashioned way. Call us, 844-879-8882 or landmarkgold.com.
Landmarkgold.com. As always, David Fisher, God bless you, brother. Thanks for calling in and helping us, and we're looking forward to talking to you again next week.
God bless you, my brother.
All right, pal. Talk again real soon. And this, I just shake my head. Come on back, Lord Jesus. because we're going to just drive this machine right into the ground. So sad, but that should help our prayer life, and it should not cost you your joy. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll talk again real soon, and like my dad always used to